Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
How can a kingdom be established forever? Answer, because our Lord Jesus Christ, God's greater Son, is eternal. He rose from the dead. He lives forever, and he is the ultimate fulfillment of the Davidic covenant.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe, senior pastor of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Throughout history, God has been faithful to his people and his promises. Today, we're looking at the important promises made by God to King David, known as the Davidic covenant. Parts of this covenant have already been fulfilled, and others are still future. To introduce today's lesson, here's Pastor John Monroe.
What do you know about the Davidic covenant? This may not be a very well-known covenant, but as we saw last time, it's very important. Important in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and important for the future. God had commanded Moses to build the tabernacle according to certain specifications. It was built as God's holy dwelling place. But it seems that David, this man after God's own heart, thought that there should be a permanent house of the Lord, and he had this great desire to build one. Initially, Nathan the prophet went along with David's request. But then Nathan was told that because David was a warrior, a man of blood, he should not build the temple. So let's learn more about the Davidic covenant and how it plays a part in the unfolding purposes of God.
Open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now when the king, that's David, lived in his house and that the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But the same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I've not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling." We call that tent the tabernacle. Verse 7, "In all places where I have moved with all of the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I've been with you wherever you went, and I've cut off all of your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name." Now we're coming to the provisions of the Davidic covenant. Notice them. "I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all of your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, when you die, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all his words and in accordance with all his vision, Nathan spoke to David. Isn't that an interesting covenant? We call it the Davidic covenant, found here in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now, in the verses we read in 2 Samuel 7, the word covenant is not stated, but in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, it states it is an everlasting covenant. This covenant is an unconditional, everlasting covenant. Now, what are the provisions of it? What are the covenantal promises to David? Well, He's going to have a great name and he's going to have land. Verse 9, God first promises that David will have a great name. That's true, isn't it? David is one of the great men in history. He's going to have a significant lineage and rule are going to come from David. The second promise is that David will establish a place of rest for Israel. Verse 10, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. Violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. Going to have a place for them where they're no longer going to be harassed. That takes us back, doesn't it, to the Abrahamic covenant where there was a promise of land. And this theme of the fulfillment of land is developed throughout Scripture and will be fulfilled when the Messiah, David's greater son, returns and institutes his millennial kingdom. Now, there's more in the covenant. He's told that his son will succeed him and establish his kingdom. This Davidic covenant is a unilateral covenant with promises unconditionally guaranteed by God himself. He's a prince over the Israelites. God is going to make him great. God is going to give him rest from his enemies. And here is David's dynasty. The kingdom and the kingdom, God is saying to David, will not end with you. Your offspring are going to rule and reign long after you are dead and gone. And it is David's son, Solomon, who succeeds David and builds his temple. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 22 through 25, and the Lord made Solomon very great in the sight of all Israel and bestowed on him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. He's very, very wealthy, is Solomon. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 1, Solomon purposed to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal palace for himself. And God allowed Solomon to do that, to build this magnificent temple. 2 Chronicles 2, verses 5 and 6, the house is going to be great, for our God is greater than all gods. But who is able to build him a house, since heaven, even highest heaven, cannot contain him? Remember, Solomon says, how can we build a house for the Lord? I mean, God is so huge, he's immeasurable, he's infinite. The heavens and the heavens can't contain him. How much less this house that we have built? And again, we see the grace of God wanting to dwell in the midst of his people and calling his people to come and to worship him and to sing his praises. Now, in the Davidic covenant, David is told in verses 14 and 15 that his offspring shall be disciplined if they commit iniquity. Yes, God is entering into this unilateral, unconditional, everlasting covenant with David, but if the successors of the covenant commit iniquity, God's judgment will be on them. It's true, God will love them. His steadfast love will not depart from them, as we see in verses 14 and 15. Although Saul, remember, was rejected because of his failure, the successors of David are not going to be rejected by God, even when they sin. They won't enjoy the benefits of the covenant during their lifetime, but that succession will continue. So what we can say is this: the enjoyment of the covenant is going to be conditional on the conduct of the recipients of the covenant, but even iniquity will not break his covenant, as it is an unconditional covenant guaranteed by God himself. Isn't that wonderful? God's steadfast love to his people. A great name, a house, a lineage, and a kingdom which will not end. God states, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 16, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. There's a house, there's a kingdom, and there's a throne, and they are going to continue forever. there will be a succession of kings after David. We sometimes talk about human dynasties. We talk about the House of Windsor or the House of Tudors, but this is the House of David and his house, his dynasty. This kingdom will never come to an end. They will have the kingly right to rule and the promise of an everlasting ruler. Under the Abrahamic covenant, God made a promise to Abraham, Genesis 17, verse 6. Let me read it to you. I will make you, Abraham, exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and what? Kings shall come from you. Abraham has promised that kings are going to come from him. This man from Ur of the Chaldeans. Kings coming from Abraham? How is that going to be? Well, in Genesis 49, Jacob, do you remember your history? Old Testament history, Abraham, son Isaac, son Jacob, 12 sons. Who's the kingly tribe? Judah. Judah is the king. Genesis 49, Jacob prophesies. Jacob, a descendant of Abraham, Abraham's grandson, prophesies that the scepter shall not depart from Judah, the scepter, the sign of kingship, nor the ruler's staff from beneath his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of his people. Genesis 49, verse 10. So the prophecy of kings coming to Abraham is now narrowed to a particular tribe: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. How does the New Testament open? In the first six verses of Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah wasn't the eldest. It was Reuben that was the eldest. But Judah is the princely tribe, is the kingly tribe. And then verse 6 says, and Jesse, the father of David, the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and so on. So, prophecy to Abraham that from you there's going to be kings. That king, that prophecy narrowed to the tribe of Judah and now narrows to the family of Jesse, that David is from the tribe of Judah, as is our Savior. So the prophecy of kings coming from the descendants of Abraham, that's narrowed to the tribe of Judah. Remember, Solomon wasn't from the tribe of Judah. He was a man of Benjamin. And now in the Davidic covenant, the prophecy of a king is narrowed to the offspring of David. You say, why David? That's the grace of God, isn't it? Under the wonder of the provisions of the Davidic kingdom, the Lord reminds through Nathan, you just, remember, tell David, he just came. I called him from the sheep, from the pasture. And in my sovereign grace, I raised him up to be the prince over my people. Turn with me to Psalm 89, where we see this. I know many of you love the Psalms, but an understanding of the Davidic covenant will help you in your study of the Psalms. Psalm 89 mentions the covenant with God's chosen one, namely David, my servant. Verse 3 of Psalm 89. You have said, I have made a covenant. Where did God make the covenant with David? 2 Samuel 7. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. How wonderful. Verse 29, I will establish his offspring forever and his throne as the days of the heavens. Verse 34, I will not violate my covenant or alter the word that went forth from my lips. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David, His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon, it shall be established forever, a faithful witness in the skies. The reinforcement, the reaffirmation of the covenant that a house and a throne and a kingdom are going to last forever. So as I say, when the Messiah is born, the genealogy of Jesus, Savior, Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, Matthew writes, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Son of David. But how can a throne and how can a kingdom be established forever? Answer, because our Lord Jesus Christ, God's greater Son, is eternal. He rose from the dead. He is the final, the perfect fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. He lives forever, and he is the ultimate fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. It's found in Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, who lives forever and ever and ever, and of his kingdom, and we're singing about it, there is no end. Would you like to be part of a kingdom like that? Would you like to be part of a kingdom like that? Yes. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have a king that never dies? A king who is perfectly just. A kingdom that never, ever disappoints us. We're disappointed by our rulers and our president and our Congress and one another and rulers even in the church and leaders in the church. We're often sorely disappointed with people, aren't we? There is no perfect ruler. There is no perfect king. All of them die. All of them return to their fathers like David. But this one, our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ, reigns forever and ever. So what am I saying? The Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, is David's greater son. He's described as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the King, long awaited, the long awaited Messiah, fulfilling perfectly all of the types and shadows and prophecies and promises of the Old Testament scripture are found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, turn with me to Psalm 132, where we will see this. Psalm 132, a song of ascents, and is full of the Davidic covenant. Psalm 132, listen to this. Remember, O Lord, in David's favor, all the hardships he endured, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. What did David vow? I will not enter my house, his own house, his palace, or get into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. That's 2 Samuel 7. David has a desire, a passionate desire to build a house for the Lord. Behold, we heard of it in Ephratah, Bethlehem, David's hometown. We found it in the fields of Jaar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, verse 8, O Lord, and go to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not turn away the face of your anointed one. The Lord swore to David a sure oath, from which he will not turn back. Isn't that magnificent? God never goes back on his word. God always keeps his promises. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne, Solomon. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne. For the Lord has chosen Zion, Jerusalem. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I've desired it. Where is God dwelling? Where is the Messiah ultimately going to rule? Not from Washington, not from Moscow, not from London, not from Beijing, but from Jerusalem. God has chosen Zion. Verse 15, I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Her priests I will clothe with salvation, and her saints shall shout for joy. Notice the conclusion, verses 17 and 18. Then I will make a horn to sprout from David. I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. You say a horn to sprout from David? What does the horn symbolize in Scripture? It symbolizes power and power. It's going to sprout from David. Doesn't that recall Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1? There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Yes. From that horn, a symbol of power, I will make a horn to sprout for David. I've prepared a lamp for my anointed, lamp, a symbol of guidance. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but on him his crown will shine. A glorious prophecy of the coming Messiah in perfect fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. And when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, and he came in his incarnation, he didn't come to judge us, although he's the ultimate ruler. He comes to save us, to rescue us, and gather a people to himself, not just from the tribe of Judah, not just from Israel, but from the Gentiles, from every tribe and tongue and nation. He is the Savior, not just of Israel. He's the hope, not just of Israel, but he's the Savior of the world, King of kings and Lord of lords. I ask you, do you know that Savior? Are you part of that kingdom? We are to receive the kingdom like a child, humbly, realizing that we can't work for it. We naturally rebel against his authority, but in his great love, he's reached down to us and calls us to repent of our sins and to turn to him and to receive him as our Savior and to bow at his feet and to think of the wonderful future that we have, that we are now part of this everlasting, eternal kingdom. And so we say, even so come, Lord Jesus.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and a lesson titled, The Davidic Covenant. And as we continue our new study on the life of David, we want to make sure you don't miss out on the valuable study guide that goes along with each of these lessons. To help you follow along and interact with Scripture during this series, John has created a special listening guide full of insightful notes, engaging questions, and helpful prompts so that you can apply this biblical teaching to your everyday life. Just go to our website to request your free copy of the Life of David Listening Guide. You'll find it at theverdict.org. And when you do, don't forget to sign up for John's monthly newsletter email to get a firsthand look at new series, resources, and special events coming up here at The Verdict. But before we close today's program, we invite you to join in what God is doing through these daily biblical messages by supporting us with a financial gift of any amount. Your generous contributions will help deliver God's Word to new listeners in your community and all around the world. So partner with us today by going online to theverdict.org. Or if you'd rather send your gift through the mail, feel free to send a check or write to us by addressing your envelope to The Verdict, care of Calvary Church, 5801 Pineville Matthews Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28226. And make plans to join our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'd love to see you in person or via live stream. For more details, just go to theverdict.org. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Well, what's your verdict? What do you think of the Davidic covenant? Do you understand the terms? This is a tremendous promise to David that his son, who's going to be Solomon, his son will succeed him and establish his kingdom. This is a kingdom which David and his descendants will rule over forever. But how will this be accomplished? We will learn next time that the Lord Jesus is David's greater son, and this covenant foretells the reign and triumph of our Savior. Make sure you're in this kingdom, which will last forever.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.